If you got your Bible, I'm all in on Christmas. Amen. I'm all in on celebrating the birth of the Lord Jesus. I'm all in on that. And I'm going to set the stage for the next 4 weeks as we celebrate the birth of the Lord Jesus. And I want to set the stage this morning and talk to you about a few things in Matthew chapter 2. If you got your Bibles, go there and follow me, if you would, in the first 12 verses of Matthew chapter number 2. I have a theme that I want to use, and I want us to, I want it to be your theme for the holidays. I don't want your theme to be Santa Claus. I don't want your theme just to be a Christmas tree. I really just don't want your theme to be buying a bunch of gifts. I want your theme to be Jesus. By the way, he is the reason for the season. And I don't believe in Xmas. I believe in Christmas. Because Christmas is about Christ. And I want you to look with me in Matthew chapter number 2. And the Bible said in verse number 1, "Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea." Now let me stop there and tell you, March the 20th of 2017 through March 29th, I'll be going back to Israel. We'll actually go to Bethlehem where the Lord Jesus was born. You'll see the fields there of Boaz. It's an amazing fact. Now, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and we are come to worship him." When Herod the king had heard these sayings, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, 'And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least of among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel.' Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent unto Bethlehem and said, 'Go and search diligently for the young child. And when ye had found him, bring me word again, that I might come and worship him also.' And when they heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And they had opened their treasures. They presented unto him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own countries another way." I want you to notice the scene in chapter number 2. Because it seemed very important to interpreting chapter number 2. First of all, we have Herod, the king. I want to say this to you. Herod is a whole lot like a lot of folks today. Herod didn't like Jesus. You can't even go into the White House and pray in the name of Jesus anymore. Used to be a common thing. Somebody help me right there. Herod didn't like. Here's what Herod's problem was. He was threatened by Jesus. He heard the story of Jesus and he was threatened that there'd be someone come and take his throne away. And he was threatened. And his desire, Brother Jared, was to destroy Jesus. Then secondly, I want you to stay with me in this story. Then there's someone else we see in verse number 3 and 4. And that is the scribes and the Pharisees. Here's what happened. Herod heard about Jesus. So he brought in the religionists of that day to tell him about Jesus. And I want you to note, listen to me carefully. I want you to note, they brought the Old Testament scriptures that they had and the records they had about Jesus. That's important. Here's the problem. Religionists look at this Bible as some kind of fable and some kind of mystery book. But in essence, it's a book about Jesus. From Genesis to Revelation, it is a book about Jesus. And they brought the facts about Jesus. Can I tell you the worst thing in this world is religion without Jesus? Being a Catholic won't save you. Let me say this. Being a Baptist won't save you. Whatever your persuasion is this morning, whatever religious background you came from this morning, can I say, none of it will satisfy your soul like a relationship with Jesus Christ. Am I preaching? The Pharisees, Herod was looking to destroy Jesus, and their whole thing about Jesus was they was indifferent. I want you to know there's a lot of people maybe sitting in this room this morning. You really don't have a big opinion about him this morning. You're just somewhat indifferent. You've heard some facts. You've heard some scriptures. You probably heard a lot about what I'm going to preach on today, but it's kind of just been over your head, and you're indifferent. But I want you to know something this morning. There was a group here. They were called wise men. Now, that's the third group. Now, their occupation isn't why they were wise. They were scholars, and that's not why they were wise. I'll tell you why they were wise. They were looking for Jesus. I want to tell you in this, every one of you in this room here, you can't walk out of here without knowing what I'm saying is true. There is a void in your heart. There is a vacuum in your heart. There's a place in your heart. You've tried everything to fill it. You've tried religion to fill it. You've tried feelings to fill it. You've tried all kinds of games to fulfill it. But it's only reserved for one person. There's only one person that's supposed to live in that void, and his name is Jesus. What made those wise men wise is because they were looking for Jesus. The next 5 weeks as I preach, I'm going to magnify this thought. Let's look for Jesus. Let's look for Jesus. By the way, you said, preacher, I'm going through trials. I want you to know he can be there. You say, preacher, I'm having some of the most difficult times of my life. I found Jesus in some of the most difficult times of my life. Oh, friend, let's magnify him this morning. Let's look for Jesus. Their agenda wasn't their occupation. Their agenda was to find Jesus. To find Emmanuel, to find God with us, to find the hope of the world, to find the joy that God had. God's looking for boys and girls, moms and dads that will look beyond the tinsel, that look beyond the Christmas tree, look beyond Santa and find Jesus. All your life, you've heard about him. Have you ever really experienced him? Oh, they called him Jesus. In the middle of your problem, you can find him this morning. I'm going to give you four things, and I'll try to let you go home. I'm going to build something here. Number one, look at verse number 1. Why did they want to look for Jesus? Because they want to behold the curious phenomenon. Boy, this is awesome. Here's what they done. They brought the books of the Old Testament. By the way, some of you say, well, I'm not familiar too much with the New Testament. Are you familiar with the Old? Do you know anything about the Old one? Because I want to tell you what. They didn't have the new one yet. They weren't operating on our revelation. But they did have this. There would be a virgin conceive and bear a son, and his name shall be called Emmanuel. They did have this in Isaiah 9:7, and his name shall be Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. You said they didn't have the New Testament. They didn't have what we had. No, but they had the Old Testament. They found out that Old Testament. Oh, praise God, I'm about to feel some preaching me right here. I want you to know something, ladies and gentlemen. I have took the Old Testament and led people to the Lord that did not believe in the New Testament. You say, why can you take the Old Testament and show somebody that doesn't believe in the New Testament how to be saved? Because the Old Testament is full of Jesus. He's found in Psalm 22 and he's suffering. He's found in Isaiah 53 and he's suffering. He's found in Micah even, and that's the next part of this passage. Not only this, we behold this curious phenomenon around the scriptural prophecies, but we also behold this phenomenon around a specified place. He said it right here. They brought the scripture. And the scripture said, quoting from Micah chapter 5 and verse 2. They even, listen, man, there's no reason why you can't believe in Jesus this morning. Because not only does the scripture tell about him coming, but also the scripture even tells where he was going to be born. Well, glory. By the way, I'm going to make a point here. You don't always look for him in the popular places. Bethlehem wasn't a popular place. No. Bethlehem wasn't somewhere you would really look at him, look for him. But I want to tell you, how many of you have found him at a doctor's office when you got bad news? How many of you have found him in the midnight hour when you was in the midst of your tears and you was in the midst of your anguish? Then came Jesus. Then came the one that brought you help, brought you strength, brought you grace. I want you to know something. Oh, he's not in all the popular places. He don't hang around much at the White House, but I want to tell you, I've seen him down at the poor house, and I've seen him come to this old poor sinner boy, and I want you to know something. Some of you don't know me from anybody, but I was an old bartender's boy, sold out to sin, but I want to tell you, one day Jesus came, and I found him. Whew. I'm having a hard time getting beyond this. Not only do I see this curious phenomenon, listen to this, around scriptural prophecy. There's enough Old Testament prophecy to prove Jesus is who he is. And then around a specified place, even where he was born. But also, I see him here. What a phenomenon. The shining preeminence. You know what them boys said? We've seen his star. They were following the star. That star one day was going to lead them and sit right over top where Jesus was born. I wrote this down because I really want y'all to hear this. And I might put it on a quote today because I'm so stirred up about what I'm about ready to say. I'm about ready to shout, and I know why. You said, what's that? Look what the Bible said. They said in verse 2, for we have seen his what? Look at verse 10. And when they saw the what? That's just shine of preeminence. Now look, write this down. Creation lights up when the maker shows up. Let me say that again. Creation lights up when the maker shows up. I want you to know, if you ever allow him to show up in your life, it'll all light up. It'll give you all the answers that you've been seeking all your life, all the void that you got in your life. I want you to know it is all solved in one person, and his name is Jesus. Whew. Secondly, let's go on a little further. And I want you to look down with me to verse number 11. Not only, Lord have mercy, I like this. This is preaching right here. Not only did we behold him in a curious phenomenon. Number two, they bowed. They bowed in a captivating presence. Whew. Look what the Bible said in verse number 11. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young man or young child with Mary's mother. Look what the Bible said. And fell down and worshiped him. And when they had opened their treasures, and we'll get to that in a moment. First of all, in verse 10, they saw his star and they rejoiced. They had a happy attitude. I want to tell you something. I got to tell y'all this. Everything changes when you meet Jesus. He'll turn your attitude around. You'll look at things differently than you've ever looked before. I have a nephew. He's now in heaven. He was saved in a Baptist church. And for whatever reason, I was his hero. He was in college writing a paper, and he wrote a paper on the happiest man he knew. And he got an A. And Jared came and gave me that paper. And that paper was entitled, Preacher John Smith is the Happiest Man I Know. I want you to know something. There's just something about finding Jesus. There's just something about him coming in your life. There's some of you in this room this morning, you're living in doubt. You're living in trouble. You don't even know exactly why you're in the situation you're in. And you're saddened and you're depressed and you're discouraged and you're down. And you say, Preacher Smith, what is the answer? I tell you the answer. The answer is looking for Jesus. The answer is finding Jesus. Hey, their answer was fine, and they had a happy attitude. They were not Baptists. Somebody help me preach. That couldn't have been a Baptist, because most of them looked like they'd been baptized three times, three, four, they'd pickle juice. I want you to know something, friend. When you get saved, it changes your attitude. Some of you look at me and say, well, he's just brainwashed. No, I'm not brainwashed. I'm blood washed. I haven't had somebody come and put a lot of stuff in my mind and brainwork. I just tell you what happened January the 31st, 1973. Jesus came into my life. It's real this morning. It changed my life this morning. And can change yours. But notice this. In verse 11, their humble approach. They bow down. My message this morning is, you need to bow down. He's the will within the will. He's the Savior. Anything but bowing down won't do. You say, why you bow down? Well, he's so high. He's preeminent. I want you to know something. I see people today, and it worries me. Even in Christians, they're so proud. And so puffed up. I want you to know something. You can be like it if you want to be, but you'll never find him. You ever find him, you're going to bow. Somebody help me preach. You know, the people that find Jesus is those that are willing to bow and exalt Jesus. Somebody help me. And how many believe if he said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. This morning, you know what you need to do? You need to bow. You need to stop being so prideful about your thoughts about life and your thoughts about your eternity and how you a way you think seems right. I want to tell you, there's only one way right. Jesus said, I am the way, truth, and the life. And no man cometh unto the Father but by me. Whew. Out of glory into humanity came our Savior. Whew. That's big, boy. Then we see a holy adoration. Hold a minute. Now, I don't want to mess up all y'all, but Jesus wasn't 8 days old when they found him. So don't get all shook. He was actually 2. Am I about right? He's actually 2. You said, where he been for 2 years? He'd been in Egypt, protected by his parents. Now I want you to know something. I love when our congregation has babies. I love it. I love it, man. I love going in there and walking in there and seeing you holding that baby. I love it. It's awesome. But I had never seen anybody worship a baby. I've seen them drool over them. I've seen him get fascinated by him, but I've never seen anybody worship him. You say, whoa. What made that baby worthy of worship? He was Emmanuel. He was God with us. They weren't just holding a child. They were holding the Christ child. Somebody help me preach right there. I want you to know the child that when the trees heard him, they blossomed. When the birds heard him, they sang. When the shepherds heard him, they rejoiced. Holy adoration. Number 3. Why were they looking for Jesus? Boy, I'm telling you, hear this. To bring him a consecrated presentation. Look what the Bible said in verse 11. And they presented unto him gifts, gold, frankincense, and what? Myrrh. They opened their treasure. I say, if you ever found Jesus, you won't have any problem giving to Jesus. You know, and I found out something. A lot of people don't have no problem spending money as long as they spend on somebody else's. Am I preaching? I want to tell you what. I mean, when I got saved, Bill Lamont back there, he's back here tonight, the guy responsible for getting me saved right back on that back row. He told me after I got saved, he said, now you do know that God wants you to tithe that you got saved. I said, what is that? He said, you need to give 10 cents of every dollar, $1 of every 10, 10 out of every 20, or 100, and 100 out of every 1,000. And you know what? I don't know if he remembers this. Maybe I didn't vocalize it, but I know I did in my life. Ain't no problem. You say, why ain't there no problem? Because I want you to know something. He gave so much to me. I found something, Brother Chad, is worthy of me giving to. I found a cause that was bigger than me. I found it somebody that larger than I. You might ask, you might be in this room and not religious or not saved. You said, why in the world would people, they bring an offering plate around here and put an offering in that plate? Because I want to tell you something. The cause of that person they're giving to. Somebody help me preach. The cause of reaching the world with the gospel. The cause of having church. What did they do? They give sacrificial gifts. But they gave symbolic gifts. I want y'all to notice this. Listen to this. They gave gold. Why would they give gold? It speaks of a supreme ruler. Gold is fit only for a king. You know what they were saying when they gave that gold? Somebody raise your hand. He's king. I want you to know he's the everlasting father. He's the prince of peace. He's the king of kings. He's the lord of lords. He's worthy.
Yes, sir.
Then they brought frankincense. And what was frankincense used for? Not only for a supreme ruler, but also for a sovereign reality. Frankincense was always used for God. I don't want to shake you up, sir, ma'am, young lady, young man, but you hear me out. Jesus Christ was the very God in the flesh. He was God in the flesh, manifested unto angels with glory. He is God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Jehovah of the Old Testament is the Jesus of the New Testament. And then they brought, boy, listen to this. Then they brought myrrh. What's myrrh for? You know what myrrh was for, Lois? It was a bitter herb. You know what myrrh was for? It was a substance used in embalming. They brought myrrh for his suffering, for the suffering redeemer. He suffered the just for the unjust. They beat him. You want to find him this morning? You want to look at him this morning? He's the one that went to the cross. They beat him with a cat of nine tails. That's what the Old Testament said. They planted a crown of thorns on his head. They stripped his garments. The Bible said in Isaiah that they couldn't even recognize him. I'll give you this. This is big here. It's amazing they brought myrrh when he was born. Hey, I want y'all to know something. How many of y'all know what kind of clothes he was wrapped in that stall? Swaddling clothes. And y'all know what them are? That's grave clothes. Do you know what Jesus was wrapped in when he was a baby? Grave clothes. You know what he was given as a gift when he was a boy? Grave clothes. You say, wow, that. Because his purpose in life was to die for you. Are you looking for something this morning? You can find it in Jesus. Then lastly, and I'm done. Look at verse number 12. And being warned of God in a dream, they should not returned to Herod. They departed in their own country another way. I'll tell you what they got. They become changed. These old boys wasn't the boys they were when they started this journey. They become changed. First of all, they had a divine witness. Oh, somebody help me. A lot of people wonder why I am like I am. Look at me. You want to know why I am like I am? Because I got a divine witness in me. The Holy Ghost lives in me. The Holy Ghost speaks to me. I'm in Christ. And he's in me. Are we preaching? Oh, hear me. Hear me. Hear me. And once they got that divine witness, somebody ought to get up and just shout it out right here. They went back a different way. Now, I want to say this to you, and I'm not going to really apologize for it. I'm just going to tell it like it is. You ever meet him, you will be different. He changes everything.
Amen. That's good.
Can I just tell you my experience. I'm going to tell you my experience. Ladies and gentlemen, when I was 3 years old, I didn't know this till I buried my nephew. When I was 3 years old, I didn't know this till I heard the story from somebody else. A man named Bates that worked for my daddy. He said, when you was three, we shot beer in your baby bottle and put it in your mouth. Jared, I wasn't raised in a Christian home like you and so fortunate. No. I wasn't raised fortunate. I didn't get to hear from a good daddy about Jesus. Ladies and gentlemen, my whole life was raised. What a terrible way to be raised. To be raised to be a bartender and a gambler. But I want y'all to know something. Jesus passed by.
Amen.
Amen. And he took this boy who was raised to be in a life of destruction. And he changed my life. And now I am preaching the gospel. I'm a steward of the gospel. I'm a child of a king. I'm living for Jesus. And everything that I have was fulfilled when he came in my life. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Young man, young lady, mom, dad, let me ask you something. Are you looking for anything in your life? What have you been looking for? Is it success? Is it pleasure, popularity? But when you get to the end, do you have any hope for eternity? I want to ask right now, heads bowed and eyes closed. How many of you has been a time in your life when you have met the Lord Jesus by faith and you were saved and you found the one that could supply your life and give you eternal life? Raise your hand if you know you're a Christian. Thank you. Thank you. I wonder how many this morning say, Preacher Smith, I have some longings. I really do want to know the truth about life and religion and the way to heaven. Have you considered him? Have you considered the one that was born of a virgin, that died, was buried, and rose again? And who right now is saying to you, your religion won't do, your goodness won't do, but the only thing I'll do is a personal relationship with me. I want you to look for him this morning. I wonder how many this morning, you've never been saved, you're not a Christian, but you want Jesus to come in your life. You want to find resolutions to your questions. I wonder how many slip up your hand and just say, pray for me. Yes, I see that hand. Preacher, I'm not a Christian, but I do want to know. If that's the way, I want to know it, and I want to go to heaven, and I don't want to die and go to hell. I wonder how many others just slip your hand up and say, pray for me. Just pray for me. God bless you. Stand with me. If you're looking for Jesus this morning, you really need him this morning. You said, Preacher Smith, I've never really even heard something like this about Jesus. I want you to know, I'll give you a challenge. Take the book. Search it for yourself. Search the old, search the new, and you'll come back with the same result. Jesus is Lord. Jesus is the only way to go to heaven. Jesus is my only hope. I guarantee you, if you take an honest look, you'll find out he's your hope. Father, the folk here couldn't raise their hand. They just don't know. I pray this morning, the sweet Holy Ghost, like you did me back when I was 20 years old, come to somebody this morning. Be real to them. And Lord, that they'll look for Jesus. They'll be so enamored with the truth. They'll come to Jesus, and we'll praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.